I'm freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Better look down there, clam digging. Bloody clam digging.
What have we here?
Go fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Ladies, gentlemen, and bees, this is the ESE Podcast, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. I am the Digital Duke, also known as the Digital Phantom, also known as the motherfucking cock of the walk. That's right. Anyway, and you know you like the walk of that cock. Anyway, and with me is the Lisa Nalgaib himself. Le Charlie, how's it going there, fella? Fartsmella.
Doing pretty good. In terms of this week of wrestling, I think it was okay. Wasn't a 10 out of 10 bang out week, but we had a pretty good we had a lot of good stuff be progressed this week, I think is the best way to put it.
So just a little disclaimer at the top of the show. For those of you that enjoy my dulcet tones, me, myself, and I, the Duke, the Digital Phantom, I actually will be dipping out early this week. I fucking am just so behind. I've been sick the last like week and a half, honestly. Like, and I've just been trying to make it through work, and I actually had to call off, which I can't even really afford to do yesterday. So I'm literally leaving for work like in about 20 something minutes. Well, I'll leave a little bit later than that, but I want to give myself like not zero time to get everything together before I go. So I am going to be leaving a little bit early.
Don't want
to. I've done that before a few times. Literally left at 6. Like as I got done with this show, and it's never a good thing.
The Scooby Doo scramble off the door is never a good feeling.
Never a good feeling. Thankfully, we've decided to just not do that today. So I will be back to normal podcasting next week. We will still be doing our other podcast. I think tomorrow, right? I think we talked about it or something like
that. Yeah, ESE Fantasy, your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. We got 5 episodes.
They're doing 3 launch tomorrow. That's fucking diabolical.
So we got 5 episodes of that. And I think that's it for this week on there. The 7th is the Critics' Choice Award. So I'm sure we'll do something the next day talking about those results. But that's 100%. About it.
Oh, yeah. So that being said, that's our slate for this week. And let's get into it. Charlie, let's jump into it with our favorites. And I believe you have the nod this week. So go ahead and take us away, bud.
A pretty easy week for favorites, I believe. For most people, you can probably guess where this was going. The minute it was announced, we're jumping to AEW Collision this week, where we had Daniel Garcia, Kyle O'Reilly, and Lee Mori.
Literally a triple threat of our boys. I mean,
it really is. I mean, former Pillar, Kyle's always been someone we loved, and Lee Moriarty's absolutely someone who we have a lot of love for.
I think
here.
It's fair to say if there had been a four pillars of NXT Black and Gold at the era that Kyle was at his peak, it would have been the fucking undisputed
era. Because he like, fits the style of wrestling that we love.
Like, they may have been the first original American Pillars if we really think about it, because they held together.
Yeah.
NXT for probably nigh on 3 or 4 years or something like that, when they were just chilling down there and they had no plans to bring them up. Like a century, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, I knew we were in for something good when, and I'm sure you felt the same, when this match starts and they're all just breaking up each other's submissions with other submissions.
Well, I think I knew this match was going to be good, but like, I think, dude, I remember like when it was announced on Dynamite, I was like a little bit, I believe it was announced on Dynamite. I could be tweaking, but I think they had like a little backstage thing.
Yeah, they had a little something.
Anyway, there was a preamble to this in some way, but I remember when they announced the match, I'm like, wow, that's just a really crazy match to just throw out there. But hey, I mean, people have been bitching about Collision just not having a lot on it recently. So, I mean,
the seeds have been there, and they were like, you know what, let's just jump into it, you know? So,
yeah.
I thought Shane Taylor played a really fun role in this, kind of being the heavy on the outside. I thought Lee Moriarty, Duke, I got to tell you, I think they booked him the strongest in this match. The amount of 2-on-1s where he successfully came out, I was really, really impressed with how they treated Lee.
If STP is going to be treated the way that I think that they should be treated, almost on like this sort of like time delay release, if you think about like the way like certain pills work that AEW does with some of these arcs sometimes. Because it was like the middle of fucking October, November when I was still watching Ring of Honor, when, or something like that, maybe even earlier in the year, when STP acquired the infantry. Right?
Yeah.
So, and they haven't really done anything with that since. I'm sure they have on Ring of Honor, just not on TV. You know what I mean? So,
love them navigating over to Collision these past couple weeks.
That is good. And I'm just glad that they're going to treat him like a serious threat now. Like, he's been with this group for a little bit of time. He should be improving in the win column. Not that he was ever struggling there, but like, he should be able to overcome more odds, because that's kind of like STP's whole thing is that we're just going to beat the shit out of you. We don't care. The odds are stacked against us. We're just going to do it. I love that that's working its way into his style. They're not just forgetting about stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, and if you wanted to play devil's advocate, you could say Lee was the one that got pinned here, but someone's got to lose, right?
And what do we always say, Charlie? Wins and losses do not matter in AEW.
Yeah, it's not going to kill him to
until
lose.
They do, and Tony Khan says they do sometimes.
And it'll never kill you to lose to the TNT champion in this company. It never will. And the fact is, during the match, I thought he was booked a lot stronger than Kyle, and even more so than Garcia, which is very surprising. If you're into technical wrestling or just quick striking, this was all for you. I mean, this was not like a super splash contest, right? So I'm sure for some people, they might have been like, oh, where is this kind of match going? But no, it's just they treated it like all three of them want to be the best technical wrestler amongst the three of them. And I really like the presentation of that.
But Kyle's not going to be outdone. He'll lock you in an ankle lock while he's got another guy in a triangle.
He'll do it. And again, Duke, another successful, by in terms of successful, I mean enjoyable, match for Daniel Garcia's TNT title reign. We're really cooking with this title reign.
I'm going to compare it to the TBS title reign that Mercedes has been on for a while. He has to continue on for quite a while to even catch up, obviously.
And he got a little behind the eight ball with him getting immediately tossed into the Continental Classic.
Correct. That was a little tough. But, I mean, that actually might actually help him because I mean, you can consider those. You can't consider them title matches, but you can't consider that part of this run because he is – I mean, arguably, he doesn't get into that if he's not the champion, right? So, I mean, he might get into it, but who knows? I don't know.
The past five collisions, he's defended this title three times. And Mark Briscoe, Shibata, and now these two all have been very, very good defenses. All have won in different styles and fashions. So, yeah, I'm very happy with this match. Any other little nuggets you had on this one? And, I mean, yeah, our boy Danny, our one of our former pillars, really, really doing his damn thing. One of our first pillars, let's say it.
It feels like the more we do this, the more I feel confident in Danny's style run being like longer than shorter because like, you know, it's very easily like as much as we love Danny, if they're just not feeling it, we've seen them pull the plug on the TNT title reign before really fast. You know what I mean? So
absolutely. A couple week reign.
Yeah. So I'm just, until we get to like our first like major pay-per-view defense for him, which I think we will be having coming up soon, I would imagine. I don't know who it's going to be against, but I do imagine he'll be on the next pay-per-view. I'm very interested to see who it is. How it is that he looks in that match. Because if he looks like a god, then I think it's a good sign for the rest of the title reign. But if he just looks like, oh, I guess it really doesn't matter how he looked. I just want it to like feel like, oh my god, this guy's the champion and he's really difficult to beat. Like I want it to feel like it's a challenge to beat this guy. Like it should be like an event when this guy loses the title. But maybe that's just because I like the guy so much.
And already the four names he's racked up. I mean, three former like big time world champions and companies. So yeah. And Lee, who's an undeniable prospect.
Lee, who you could argue is probably a future Ring of Honor world champion at the very least.
Yeah.
Maybe even at a potentially a mid-card to upper mid-card AEW champion eventually. You know, it just depends on how things go for him. Him being in a spot like this, him being the third guy that they could think of to put against these two guys is a good place to be.
Good sign.
In Tony Khan's mind. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But yeah.
What'd you have for us this week of your favorite of the week?
Yeah, we'll rewind a little bit to Dynamite. Anyway, and so we're going to jump back to the main event. We're not going back too far. We're only going to the end. And CEO Mercedes Moné took on Yuka Sakazaki. I don't have the energy to do the rest of the day. Sorry,
I write it in my notes as that because of you.
Yeah, that's
I have to.
I write it in my notes like that because of Justin Brain. Roberts. So, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so thanks. Shout out the Dapper Yapper. But see, now that's a realistic guest we could get on this podcast one day, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Like, the Dapper Yapper!
I feel like he has nothing to do during the week besides yell at people on a microphone, right? So, you know, like, I'm sure we could get him to fucking talk to us for like 5 minutes. Like, hey, how do you come up with this crazy shit? This fun. Like, because you know, one thing I'd want to ask him about would be the Anarchy in the Arena 1. Like, what came over you? Was that told to you to say? And as I think he said, it wasn't told. I was like, what came over you in that moment? Were you just possessed by the violence? You know what I mean? Like that was about to unfold. Like, you know, did you have any idea what was about to happen? You know, like, anyway, just fun stuff like that. But yeah, so Mercedes was taking on Yuka Sakazaki for the TBS championship. And I had high expectations heading into this one, Charlie, because of, like I mentioned earlier, this TBS title reign has been maybe the best TV title reign, because that's really mostly what it's been. She's mostly defended this on television, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, which is fucking awesome, and it's made a lot of really great favorites on certain weeks and stuff like that, and so on and so forth. But I will say that, you know, Yuka is different, because, like, if for Mercedes, 9 times out of 10 against all the women pretty much in AEW, she's usually got the size disadvantage, you know? Like, she's not short or anything particularly, but she's shorter than a lot of the other women, you know what I mean? So it's different when she's actually the taller, you know, more has more stature than her opponent.
Being able to be booked as the heavy.
Absolutely. And so it changes up her style a little bit, and I liked how we got to see that. It kind of emphasized her heelness a little bit more, which, not that she doesn't, but again, like, it's just, it changes the way that you have to wrestle, you know what I mean? I thought Yuka sold her fucking ass off in this match, and I feel like that's the one thing that Yuka's never going to get enough credit for, because she loses so goddamn much, is that she sells so goddamn well, you know what I mean? Like, she makes people like Mercedes, who already are established, look even better, which is impressive, because they face some of the best wrestlers in the world and sometimes don't look this good, you know what I mean? So, you know, like, it is what it is, you know? But, you know, but people do like her. I mean, that's not saying that she doesn't. That's why she gets this, like, run that she's potentially supposed to be going on either, well, supposed to be last year, but I assume, you know, reset button will try it again this year, you know what I mean? Like, not the greatest start, because she does lose here, obviously, but, I mean, you're not going to beat Mercedes right now. No. I don't know.
Winning the qualifier to get here still. Nice win.
That is a nice win. And if she sticks around and, you know, continues to do some stuff, what I've complained about, I think, for the longest time with Yuka is we just can't really get, like, an extended story with her for whatever reason. I'm not sure why no one's booking that. I don't know why, but, maybe this could be the start. I have no idea, you know, but probably not. I did think she sold the Moneymaker pretty well, which we always talk about that, because obviously the infamous first, not great sell of it when Mercedes returned, you know, so, you know, like,
it's nice when it's hit or sold very well, it always sticks out now.
100%. And I think this delivered like a Dynamite main event should, to be honest with you. I thought that pretty much everything that, I was expecting for them to do. I mean, like, you know, Mercedes has, like, kind of really completely changed her style. She always kind of hit pretty hard before in the WWE, but was, like, you know, it was sanitized for WWE kind of hard hitting style, kind of like what other people do there now. Now they've unleashed that a lot in the last few years, but, you know, before Sheamus and Drew McIntyre were literally killing each other out there or whoever, you know, like, it's like, you know, you didn't have all that all the time. It was certain matches, certain wrestlers, you know what I mean? Whereas it feels like in this reign in particular, especially when she goes to Japan, Mercedes just uncorks the fucking violence. And I'm so down for that, because it's not a side of her that I expected to really see come out. But, you know, when you're wrestling and your emphasis is that I want to do, you know, I want to go wrestle in Japan. I want to go, you know, be a champion in, like, 3 companies at the same time, you know what I mean? Like, this, like, the stuff that Mercedes is doing right now is incredibly impressive, and I feel like it's one of those things where people are, like, just kind of, like, not really acknowledging it. It's kind of wild. Like, I understand there's a lot going on in AEW, but this is going to be remembered as, like, one of the most important times in her career, I feel, you know what I mean? Like, so
we're talking about a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, one in both companies for sure. I mean, like,
so,
I mean, definitely, would it be absurd for me to say this is maybe the best TBS title reign we've had?
No, because I...
Because the Jade one had great moments, right? But, like,
and
this,
our biggest gripe with Jade was it felt champion. Like we weren't getting consistent feuds. And while the Yuka match is not a feud, Mercedes has had consistency. So, yeah, no, I think this is the best TBS title reign so far. And I say so far because I have high expectations for the future, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, if we can continue this momentum, it's kind of like, you know, carry off the Jack Perry momentum. Like, you know, Jack Perry may not be the greatest champion in AEW's history, but he's definitely had one of the best title reigns in recent history and set up the next champion for massive amounts of success because he beat a legit guy. I mean, think about that. Jack Perry's a legit guy now for one title reign. That's where Mercedes should be viewed after this. Not that she wasn't already, but she should be viewed as the next one in line for the world title because she's not been losing at all. Whoever beats her is going to be a fucking star. It's just a fact. And I wonder who that'll be. You know who I think in my head would be awesome? I don't know how you get here. A lot of things would have to happen. If we could set up Sky Blue to win this TBS championship somehow, I think that could be a fucking career-making moment for Sky. Like, not that her career is not already there. I think she may have had that when she switched over to, like, Evil with Julia or whatever. But, like, championship legitimate moment, that could be when that happens, you know?
Absolutely. There was a lot of really fun spots in this match. I was just reading, this was the first women's main event of the year, I believe. So they delivered
that's
on that.
Crazy. I can't believe that's actually statistically true. We were a month in and we didn't give the women the main event once. I mean, I guess there's not any like, particularly hot women's angles outside of the one you're not going to throw a match on, right? So, you know, like.
Yeah, so yeah. Good for Mercedes and Yuka to get that spot. The crowd was eating it up. I thought this was very technically sound for the two of them. There was a moment that I've really loved where Yuka countered one of her power bombs into a Hurricanrana, and I just thought it was very, very swift and very clean. I'm loving having Yuka back on TV. We've covered a lot on our show about her injury. You know, she got injured and she came over and got injured again, pretty much. So it's if she's back full time from here on out, I look very forward to what she does next. Because Yuka brings this fun energy that you know you're getting every single time a Yuka Sakazaki match is on
your
screen.
It's the whole package, man. Like, it's the energy of the music when she comes out. The crowd instantly, like, even if they have no idea who she is, it's like when Shinsuke's entrance hit for the first time in the WWE main roster. People in the crowd were just stunned because they'd never seen anything like it. And I'm not saying that that's what Yuka's entrance does, but what I'm saying is like when something about the way some of these Japanese wrestlers have been packaged or how they understand to package themselves, you know, they just have this way to connect with the crowd that is so different. And why I wish more Japanese wrestlers got shine on American television, because they connect with the crowd in a way that I don't think Western wrestlers tend to do. You know, always, you know what I mean? Some of the top get there, but only in certain angles and feuds against certain opponents. Like every time she comes out, the crowd is losing their minds. You know what I mean? And it's not just like, it's not a Will Ospreay pop or anything, but goddamn if it's like not noticeable. I mean, you compare that to some of the other people out there and it sounds like crickets by comparison. You know what I mean? Like, so yep. Like, I don't know, man, it's wild. And this is a person that never gets on TV. So like,
Seeing her technical aspect being shine on like it was in this match, I would like to see her mix it up with Queen or mix it up with Deonna Purrazzo. I think would be really fun.
Oh, God. So, have we had that match yet? Queen versus Deonna?
I don't think. I don't know
that,
if we have.
That would
have.
Be an interesting technical
that,
wizard.
That would be a fun one. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
We got a little bit of news today. We got some fun stuff to dive into.
Hell yeah.
So, WrestleNomics has reported that Amazon Prime is soon to become home, to become another option where fans can buy AEW pay-per-views. So, we're still kind of, I believe, Revolution's the first one that we're going to get the max, you know, whatever the hell it is, exclusivity or, like, discount, whatever the fuck it's coming with. Not really sure yet, but it sounds like Prime's going to join Triller, pay-per-view.com, YouTube, as just more digital pay-per-view buying options, so...
It surprises me 0% that Amazon wants to get into this space. I wouldn't be surprised if they already were. Yep. Like, I mean, they do the live sports streaming stuff, so that's probably pretty similar to what we're talking about here, just restreaming and already being streamed out somewhere else, you know, being whatever price I'm sure they have to pay for that, you know what I mean? Or maybe they negotiate some kind of deal. I have no idea.
Do you imagine getting your wrestling program front page of Amazon?
Yeah, that would be pretty wild, yeah. Yeah. You know?
Okay. We have a new broadcast start time listed for the Grand Slam Australia. This is a follow-up for us.
This is wild. We didn't even know about this like 3 weeks ago or something like that, or however long ago it was.
Saturday, February 15th, there's a two-hour AEW collision at 10:30 p.m. There it is. So that's what it's listed as.
So it's an episode of Collision, essentially.
I guess technically that's what they're listing it as in this. 10:30 p.m. So it will be recorded, I believe, then, like 18 hours before that. So that's kind of funny. But
so everything will leak by then, which is fine.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately. But then again, who knows? Maybe it won't. But yes, that is, of course, that is going to be on TNT because of the NBA All-Star coverage. So
Tony Khan better hire some digital snipers. That's all I know.
He should. The mystery is finally solved. We know when we're getting AEW Grand Slam Australia.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi. We had a couple cool things to talk about. Well, actually, let's get this one out of the way before we get to the cool stuff. There was a planned street fight between Powerhouse Hobbs and Big Bill for this week's Collision. it had to be postponed because Hobbs was actually legitimately injured.
God damn it.
It doesn't sound like it's like severe. And it was just something.
That fight sounds so good, though. God
yeah.
damn it.
Maybe it'll work out perfectly. And they
put
can
it on
just,
the pay-per-view. Put it on the pay-per-view. Put it on the pay-per-view.
Exactly. Hold it till the pay-per-view. So but it's all up in the air.
How's it brawl over the arena until then? That could be fun. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. This injury might have made it fucking great. You know what I mean?
Might have made it even better.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck it. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. I thought this would be fun to bring up. So Danhausen, this week, he's about, what, a month, almost 2 months ago now. He made his return to Ring of Honor in a surprise cameo.
Is this the interview he did with Chris Van Vliet? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I actually watched this. I didn't even know. That's awesome. Perfect. My brain does that.
So, yeah, this was an interview with Chris Van Vliet. And this is about 2 months after he made his surprise cameo, if you will, in Ring of Honor. And he brought up an idea that I think is worth talking about. So Danhausen believes his marketability should translate into television time. And he kind of goes on to say here, it's kind of seeing where it's going to go, see what's going to happen, figuring it out still. But I would like to be presented on TV because I think the character is for TV. I think the merchandise seller, top seller list for the last 4 years or whatever, on TV or not, it's always top three or top four. I think it's, and he said top three this year for sure. Last year it was CM Punk, MJF, and me. So, yeah. And I wanted to bring this up because is this something that they should be paying attention to?
I think
because
it's certainly
clearly
something they should be paying attention to.
People like the guy. But it feels like Tony has kind of, I don't know if it's, I don't know what the correct term here is, but we haven't even seen him in his little spots, like his little harmless 30-second spots on
AEW. He brought something else up specific in this conversation, which was that they did this whole thing leading up to Halloween where he was going to, he was coming back from injury and he was going to come back. And I forget what the plan was. They had even announced what it was. I can't remember it off the top of my head. But he was coming back to do something specifically on Halloween. He ends up not being able to make it because he's not cleared or whatever. So he's like, to them, he's like, why don't we just do it next week? You know, it doesn't really matter. I know it was set for Halloween, but we can just be like, oh, yeah. You know. They could have easily explained that away. They could have just, he could literally in one line.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? He's that quick and smart on his feet. By the way, for those of you that are curious what he looks like without the paint, this interview was without the paint. You want to see that. So, yeah, and he talked about them just not wanting to do that. And then they pushed it and all the way to Thanksgiving, which ended up working out for him, I guess, because it was a big spot on Thanksgiving. But it's not like, you know, it's not what he wanted. You know what I mean? So I'm like I said, I do think it's something they should look at. I don't know if it should be the end all be all for deciding who gets the most TV time, because I feel that that's a thing that'll start feeding itself eventually, right? If you put all the same people on TV because they're the top sellers, then they're just going to continue to be the top sellers, right? Because they're the only ones featured. So you have to give other people TV time. And there's so many people on the roster. And I'm going to say something that's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable and unhappy, but it's the truth. If this guy were to go and leave and go to the Fed, he would be very successful. Because this kind of character, especially if you sanitize it, not that he really needs to anyway, it's made to be able to be accessible for kids anyway, for the most part. You know what I mean? With a side of a joke about teeth being knocked out here or there. But, you know, like, that's wrestling in general. If you don't like that for your kids, you probably shouldn't have them watching it anyway, right? So, you know, because, you know, Swerve, like, gets stabbed in the forehead with fucking scissors and shit, you know? So, like, but, you know, like, I struggle sometimes to think, like, How is this guy not featured? Because we both like him. I fucking hated him when he first got here because I thought this kind of gimmick in wrestling is the like kind of the worst kind. You know what I mean? But like then I actually, you know, listen to what the guy has to say, watch him on television, find out he's actually really solidly good technically in the ring. You know what I mean? Which if you listen to him in his interview, he also mentions that's one thing he wanted to make sure he could do first was wrestle. And when he realized being a good wrestler didn't get you anywhere, he came up with a fucking strong gimmick. And if you hear about the inspirations for where it came from, too, it's actually really cool. So it's a really interesting thing.
It's worth its time. And it brings up a good question of, with all the serious stuff on TV, especially in the midst of what we have going right now in our main event scene, I just don't see why we don't bring him back for his little bits. Like, it never was overexposed.
Is it a concern that with something as serious as the Death Riders going on that you'd have to have him get killed by them? Like, why would they let him continue to do his thing?
They should absolutely target him after a while. That should annoy them that he's being featured. That's been the whole gimmick, and it's just like, I don't know. I think if it is
what I just said, I mean, Brock Lesnar in R-Truth is one of the most watched segments ever, I think, isn't it? Right? Like,
yeah.
Because, you know, because you put the two people that are the most polar opposite you can and get across from the ring for each other, and it creates a fucking weird situation, yeah. You know? Like, I don't.
It's just that at a certain point, you really, you got to acknowledge this merch stuff. I do think it's worth acknowledging. So, yeah, that being said, I don't think he should wrestle on our TV as much as, like, Will Ospreay, but it wouldn't hurt to have, you know, even Hookhausen, shit like that. It worked. So, couple more. We had smaller things here. Mina Shirakawa is out of action indefinitely. She was injured at a Stardom show. Not sure when she was coming back to AEW anytime soon, but we obviously wish Mina a speedy recovery.
You would assume
recovery.
She was going to run it back with Mariah again at some point, probably some face point. Some of the other women here, maybe a Mercedes run back. You know what I mean? There was options there. You know what I mean? So
hopefully she can make the trip over at the end of April for the big Vegas shows that Stardom's doing, but you obviously wish the best for Mina because she is incredible. We're going to mention some Ring of Honor this week, where Elijah, formerly WWE Elias, has aligned himself with AEW Ring of Honor tag team The Righteous. On Monday, he posted a video of him on social media walking alongside Vincent and Dutch, who wants to run with The Righteous Ones. So,
I'll just say it, since I'm the one that nixed fucking Ring of Honor. I mean, technically you did, because I asked you, can we, you know, and you were like, let's get rid of it. But, like, I also agreed to it. I could have been like, no, I refuse. But I'm going to tune in and see what they do with this. I don't know that I'm going to watch all of Ring of Honor, but I may tune in just for this, just to see what goes on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just see what goes on.
And if there's something else in the show that I like, maybe I'll stick around for that too. We'll see. Ring of Honor could make its way back this year. We never said it was gone forever, just for a while.
Not gone forever. But that's... I think that's a nice
until
fun
it's
role
completely
for,
gone, and then we would have no excuse. But you know,
yeah, I think that's a fun role for him. It sounds like they were on the Jericho Cruise, which we're not going to go through all the results of that. But the Jericho Cruise did happen. It sounds like they don't count that anymore, anyways. So
we've never seen footage from it, and they said it was going to be included in. Like, they have recordings of it. It's supposed to be counted as.
Well, there
an
was
AEW
Dynamite's
show.
Done on it in like 2019, but
yeah, that's about it. Yeah.
And then, so our last little thing we'll talk about here. Is so we're doing Eat Sleep Elite on Sunday next week. Well, this week. Monday is the new beginning in Osaka for New Japan Pro Wrestling. So we will have a review out on Monday of that. It is Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Togi Makabe, Shingo Takagi versus Drilla Maloney, Shota Umino versus Great Okan, Tai Chi versus Sonata, Ichiban Sweet Boys versus Chaos, which is Rocky Romero and Yo. Konosuke Takeshita versus Bolton Oleg for the Never Openweight Championship.
Be Bolton no legs after he gets done with him.
The Young Bucks versus Tetsuya Naito and Hiromu Takahashi for the IWGP Tag Team Championship. Yoda Tsuji versus Gabe Kidd and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Hiroki Goto. So we will have a show dedicated to that. We've talked a lot about doing more New Japan coverage this year, so why not start it off right when we have multiple guys that we follow week in and week out featured on that show? I guess that being said, Duke, any other kind of anything you really wanted to talk about? We can kind of keep a little special interlogue here for a minute.
Yeah, sure. Like,
anything that really stuck to you this week? Five minutes, probably.
And let's see, was there anything else on either show that I really wanted to talk about before I have to dip out? Fucking Bandito's back.
Hell yeah. One of our new four pillars, Bandito.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome
Bandito
back to AEW.
Fucking back. And looks like he might be, you know, okay. Am I excited that he's trapped in the Jericho Vortex instantly? No. But this guy treated this guy well the last time they wrestled, so I have no concerns about it whatsoever. And if anybody can get a good match out of fucking Jericho and he's like 70 years old, it's this guy. So I'm down. He'll have good matches with Brian and with the Bad Apple once he's done with Hobbs. You know what I mean? Or, sorry, not the Bad Apple. Sorry, with Redwood, I'm sure, as well in there. But obviously, Redwood's a little tied up with Hobbs. But hey, we could even see a tag match with Bandido and Hobbs as a tag team. Now that is an interesting tag team right there. I don't know if it worked, but fuck, holy
shit. I'm glad to see that they didn't lose faith and they kept up with the Jericho thing, even though it sounds like he had a little concussion. So that was pretty nice. Queen Aminata versus Toni Storm next week.
Yeah, that should be a banger of a match. I mean,
and I gotta get you, we gotta get a prediction on this for you, because this is something I'm curious what you're thinking. It's been billed for 3 weeks, the match next week. Ricochet versus Swerve Strickland. Who's taking this win, man?
As much as I think in my head Swerve deserves to get his comeuppance, I think that I want to keep this fucking going. I think Ricochet needs to win, dude. That's what I'm really thinking. Like,
yeah.
Also, Ricochet's lost a couple matches recently, I think, as well. So I could be wrong, but I think he lost recently. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But, he beat somebody.
He lost. He was in the gauntlet match and lost, so that counts.
That counts. But, I mean, like, at the same time, like, it's not like he's been on top of the world recently. He could. No. And honestly, I'm just wanting him to win to continue the feud, because I just want to see what Swerve will do, having gone through everything that he's gone through and getting stabbed and having people's lives threatened and still lose. Like, that would be just to see where it goes, because Swerve can take this shit to some places. And it feels too early on TV.
His first win was this week since he beat Ospreay at the Christmas Collision. So
there you go. So he's been on a streak of losses, so he could use the momentum. And let's be honest, we all want to see this continue to go forward. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. I guess that being said, we'll go to the next portion of our show. And Duke, I guess you'll be signing out here.
Yeah, we'll see everybody next week. I apologize. I'll be back tomorrow for the, their 5-episode review of Insanity. That's going to be like 7 hours, With that being said, I'll see you guys next week, and peace.
Hope you feel better, buddy.
Me too.
All right. So that being said, guys, I guess I will be jumping into Dynamite this week, where I kind of touched on it a little bit at the beginning. I don't think this was an overwhelmingly great Dynamite. I don't think it was horrible. I think it was just kind of mid to slightly above mid, which is, it's fine. We're allowed to have Dynamites that are kind of mid. So up first, we had Will Ospreay taking on and defeating Brian Cage. It's a Will Ospreay match, man. You know what you're getting? I thought it opened out pretty well. And Brian Cage, he's been getting these opportunities lately, and he looked like he belonged. So I thought Dynamite got off to a great start. At one point, Cage, there was a lot of shenanigans going on with the Don Callis family, a lot of shenanigans with a hoot, if you will. So the Don Callis family really got involved and made their pressure felt, to say the least. So yeah, that is kind of where that was at. There was a cheeky Nando's, a pip pip cheerio for a near fall that I thought was really good. And yeah, Cage hit an avalanche F5. Ospreay got his foot on the ropes. I thought at this point we were really singing in this match. So Ospreay got a Styles Clash and got the victory before it was all said and done. Again, a good television match. I think if we had a third favorite, this probably would have been it. So that and the main event of Collision, but pretty good stuff. Post-match, Lance Archer immediately came out, beat the shit. He was already out there, but he beat the living shit out of Will Ospreay. Kenny Omega's music hits. He came out with a chair, chucked at the Murder Machines. Kenosuke, Takeshita, and Kyle Fletcher hit the ring, 4-on-2. A bastard driver was hit by Takeshita. Tombstone on Ospreay. Callis joined his family. They stood tall, leaving Omega clutching his ribs. Good heat. I'm excited for this match. I think this is the match carrying, Dynamite Grand Slam. Well, I've been calling it Dynamite Grand Slam, but I guess maybe it's Collision Grand Slam. So Renee Paquette was outside Swerve Strickland's locker room. Hangman stormed by looking inside. How many people got your giblies rustled when that happened? He's not finding Swerve, but saying it's not Renee's business what he's doing. He shoulder past MJF with a brief stare down. MJF mocks him how Paige is acting like he's king shit. Called him hypocritical. He kept talking to himself. Renee cuts him off. He apologized, saying it was the ADD. Jeff Jarrett will learn tonight that he should have taken his deal with the devil. But he'll be beaten by a horse in Claudio Castagnoli. Tonight it's the last Outlaw's last ride. Ain't I great? you know, I don't know what the end game is for this, other than maybe we just toss them together on Revolution. But, you know, I don't know. MJF needs to be doing something, I guess, right? Because you always want to keep your former world champion and one of your stars constantly visible on television. So I got no problem with it. We've talked a lot about how the promos, I think, have really worked. So I'm assuming we'll get a match eventually. But we got our pre-recorded comments from Hobbs, which we talked about in the news. They're pretty much saying, wasn't clear to travel. So, yeah. Okay. Up next, we had Claudio Castagnoli take on and defeat Jeff Jarrett. God, guys. I mean, we don't want to be a show that harps on shit every week, but these Death Rider shenanigans are really, they're really stale. I you need to refresh it somehow. How you do that, I'm not entirely fucking sure, but I just don't know, man. It's not like it was offensively bad, the match, but I've seen people call it the House of Moxley. I've seen people say he took everything wrong with the Bloodline. I just don't know, man. Does Claudio need all of this to beat Jeff Jarrett? Does he? I don't know, man. Yeah. It is what it is. This set up even more, we're getting MJF versus Jarrett, but there's nothing I love from this. It felt like a big mess, and yeah, I think that the quicker we move on, the better, unfortunately. But that being said, like I said last week, just because there's one kind of thing that you might not like doesn't mean the rest of the show is like that, because I believe we had a good opener. We had a great closer. We've had a lot of great stuff in between this. However, this one just really didn't work for me. Renee was backstage with Ricochet. She informs that Tony Khan told her that if Swerve Strickland interferes in any capacity tonight, the match with Ricochet is called off. I like this. Because they've done this now where they just want to get their hands on each other. And they touch on this on Collision very well as well. And now they're kind of coming up with different ways of, you know, why wouldn't Swerve just go out there and beat the crap out of him, right? Why wouldn't he? Well, if you do that, your match is off. You're not going to be able to get your hands on him. And, you know, maybe Swerve will go into business for himself there, and they'll do the lights out gimmick. It's always possible. So, yeah, there are options, but commentary, pretty much, they mentioned this is most likely because Ricochet interfered last week. So, yeah, our next match, we had Ricochet take on and defeat A.R. Fox. This was just a fun little match. Our former Lucha Underground rivals, we had a good build here to the Ricochet and Strickland following the match. But once we got going, it's so enjoyable seeing A.R. Fox get in the ring and do his thing. He is featured on television way less than he should be. He is just so enjoyable. And again, Ricochet. Holy shit, man. He hit a code breaker. He hit the spirit gun. Vertigo. 1, 2, 3. The ring will never be the same. No. Rocket Ship Jones was the best way I could describe this match. Shout out Taz. Post-match, he grabbed his gold scissors from behind a turnbuckle. Was about to use it. Swerve appeared, dragged him to the outside, sent him crashing into the barricade and steps. The attack was allowed. Strickland didn't show up at all during the match. He wanted a Swerve stomp, but Ricochet grabbed A.R. Fox, used him as a shield, put the gold scissors to his throat. Tossed Fox aside, bailed. Strickland stared him down, saying there's nowhere to run in 1 week. Dude, I am absolutely loving Swerve Strickland and Ricochet's program. This is unbelievably good. And I shouldn't be surprised, because they're both S-tier fucking players. No one should be surprised how great this is. It is so, so fucking good. It's so good. Dare I say it's the thing I look forward to most weeks. I wonder where other people are at right now, but it hasn't been the top featured thing, but it's the thing I'm looking forward to the most. And the second's probably Harley Cameron, just because she's so great every time she's on television. Oh my God. We get footage from Renee Paquette's close-up with the Death Riders. And there's always the cool little angle here when Renee's doing anything with Moxley. Why is he holding the AEW World title hostage in a briefcase? Do people want to take a picture with it? Is it a petting zoo? People don't understand what it takes to be a champion. I am the living definition of a world champion. So, I don't know what the fuck I just did. It's something you win, hold, show off, take a picture with. It's not something you win. It's your heart, cultivated, grown in white hot fire of combat. He's building an army of John Moxley's behind him. He's backfilling them behind him, putting them through what he's gone through and worse. Got it. Dare I say this felt coherent? This felt like now the world, God, for starters, AEW is the most sexy world championship in wrestling, in my opinion. It's a shame that we don't see it. It was kind of funny when we saw like some kid on some fucking college football team holding the title. And everyone's like, oh man, I forgot how beautiful that son of a bitch is. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Moxley is the champion. Beating him would make you champion, obviously, right? But I don't know. I thought this felt a little, this felt like some passion that we've kind of been missing a little bit. Not just tying up 80-year-old men and beating the shit out of them off screen. No, this felt a little bit, I enjoyed this a little more. So there was a really good AEW merchandise commercial with Daddy Magic. Absolutely brilliant. There's a commercial for Chris Jericho's new movie, Dark Match, shown on Shudder this weekend. Gotta tell you guys, I'm gonna be watching that. All right. Look, if you guys follow us on Blue Sky at all, you know how much I love movies. And a wrestling movie, good Lord, I can't fucking wait. Good Lord. But yeah. Just another Jericho New York minute that, God, roll your eyes worthy a little bit, unfortunately. This one didn't work for me at least. But hey, Brian Keith will take on the Outrunners this week with him on Collision. Good stuff. I like seeing Keith mentioned and Keith featured. So Switchblade Jay White takes on and defeats Wheeler Yuta. Jay White got his revenge on the thorn that has been in his side. I thought this was a really solid match. The crowd was so behind Jay White. It made me reminisce a little on maybe if we had done the Jay White Championship at World's End, I think people would have fully embraced it. I do still really think people would have fully embraced Powerhouse Hobbs as world champion at Maximum Carnage, but that's all right. Back to the drawing board. We know our next contender. And yeah, Yuta wanted the Psycho Knee at the end here, ran into the Blade Runner. Really good finish. So yeah, I thought this was a pretty solid match. Didn't have a crazy amount of time, but it didn't need to, right? It got what it accomplished. Jay White on television. That's all you need. Post-match, Death Riders hit the ring. They attack him. Rated FTR. Made the save before things got out of hand. Cope shakes Jay White's hand. Dax takes the mic. Said he doesn't hate how the Death Riders operate, but hates how they tried to end a 67-year-old hero of his, Ricky Morton, last week. Dennis Condrey is there, and on his name on Collision, they'll see the Death Riders in a Mid-South street fight. Moxley didn't really care. And they dip out. So do what you will with that. Need a little drink there. We got a video package of Mariah May and Toni Storm's interaction on Collision last week. And it's the performance of a lifetime. I do like when they feature stuff from Collision on Dynamite, because obviously I think it's safe to say there will always be more people that watch Dynamite than the other show. That's just kind of the way it's always going to be. So if something really good like that happens, and maybe, you know, your Dynamite viewer isn't on social media or didn't see it on YouTube or whatever, I think it's important to show that on television to really impact that Timeless Toni Storm has returned. It was the performance of a lifetime. It was an unbelievably great segment last week. Another great program, right? And it advanced in a good way tonight because Renee welcomed Mariah to the stage. Giovanni goes, "You typical mean girl." May said, "It's great to be in Huntsville. Maybe they should change the first letter to a C." Toni Storm is not real. She got into Paquette's face, causing her to bail. May said, "Toni wants to play the role of Toni Storm. Why doesn't she play the role of a woman who used her for her gold? Play the Toni Storm whose most memorable moment was bleeding and crying in her hands. Walked into AEW Japan and Mexico because she couldn't touch May. Play whatever version you want. The ending is still the same. When you're this good, you don't change a thing. She's the woman from hell. She always will be. Something she'll remind Storm for the rest of her life. Look now and never forget, for this is your AEW Women's World Champion." No appearance from Storm. She holds up the title, but my God, how good is Mariah May? Wow. Wow, wow, wow. This is between her and Mercedes. I mean, our champions are so fucking good, man. And that's not even counting Athena or Red Velvet. Like, our champions are so fucking good. I thought this was another promo that she absolutely crushed. She is so special. And I am not taking this title for granted at all. I'm really trying to soak in every single moment that we get with this, because this feels special. It feels like we're witnessing something special. And 1 month in, 2025 has been very, very good for her championship reign continuing. We get a video package for the Guns, looking at past highlights from their career in AEW. Jay White's voice is heard throughout. They hit the Guns up line to end it. We do the stuff highlighting Daniel Garcia's match on Collision. Highlights of the Hurt Syndicate winning the tag titles was shown. The MVP actually recognizes Private Party and gives them, you know, kudos for fighting as hard as they did. They ran into the dominant tandem of Lashley and Shelton, man. They're going to hold the title as long as they choose. Name the time and the place to the Hurt Syndicate. And they hurt people. So, yeah. I'm excited to see where this goes, obviously. I'm not really sure who their first contender is going to be off the top of my head. I mean, there's a fucking 100 options. So, yeah. Video package for Kodosuke is shown. Highlights his never open weight title and stuff. So, I like that. Backstage, Taya Valkyrie and Deonna Purrazzo say moments from now they'll see Mercedes defend her title against Yuka. Should have been her in this match, but Valkyrie said Harley Cameron stuck her balloons where they don't belong. Cameron belongs to the Vendetta, and on Collision, they're coming to collect. We're coming to collect. Yeah, cool. Again, I like the Vendetta. Anytime we get their little segments, it works for me, so I'm a big fan of it. And I believe that's all we have for Dynamite, because we covered the main event, which was a pretty enjoyable match. So, like I said, all in all, there was some stuff on Dynamite. Again, as going through it, you know, there was some stuff that didn't work. There was some stuff that I really liked and stuff that I thought was solid. So, yeah, let's jump into AEW Collision. Let's jump to Collision then, where this week we opened up with Hook and Samoa Joe taking on and defeating the Patriarchy, Kip Sabian and Nick Wayne. Yeah, I thought this was pretty enjoyable. It's nice to see Samoa Joe and Hook as a tag team. I'm enjoying this pairing. But yeah, let's get a trios match rolling, maybe. Let's get a Christian Hook payoff. I'm liking what we got here. So yeah. Cope was backstage. He wondered if Jon Moxley even knew what his goal was. Nobody else seemed to know what it was. He called him malcontent, unaware that he may be the problem with AEW. Said that even when he was a young gun, he respected the veterans that made it better for his generations. Paid it back by helping make the business better for people in Moxley's generation. Moxley's entitled. Didn't respect that. He hated how John Moxley hid the AEW World Championship away and was going to beat Moxley to take it. And our challenge was made for Revolution: Cope versus Mox for the AEW World Championship. Okay. I dug this. I thought it was pretty solid here. You know, I don't know if I would have gone the respect your elders route, but I think it works that he wanted to take the angle of don't hide the championship away and pretty much shitting on what Moxley said on the close up. And I think that's a good counterfoil to what Moxley's been doing. I think this is going to be a good match. I think it's going to be an enjoyable match. I got to be honest. Unlike Hobbs or Jay White, I just don't see Cope winning, which means maybe he will win, right? Maybe that means he wins. So, yeah. Beast Mortals came out and defeated Adam Priest. Quick little ding ding. Destination Hellhole is what was hit. Max Caster hits the ring. Said he wouldn't stand a chance against the best wrestler alive. Kicked him off and started the first of his open challenge series. Out comes Roosh, who beats the living shit out of him. LFI is back again. Now, this was good. This was good. And Roosh looked like a complete fucking badass, which is what we always want from him. So, I gotta tell you, there was a brief trickle of thought in the back of my mind. Maybe Max Caster was gonna win this match? I was a little terrified of that potential. I was like, oh no, because Roosh has had a little bit of shady booking, man. I mean, that's the best way to put it. It's been a little shady sometimes. So, I was fucking worried. I was very, very worried there for a split second. And then I realized, oh, he's going to beat the fuck out of him. And this is kind of how I predicted it's going to go for Max Caster. I think how all of us really feel. And I don't know how he works as a single star in this company, man. I just don't. So, I guess we'll see where that takes us. The Outrunners were backstage with Lexi Nair. They cut their promo on the Learning Tree. Whatever. That match immediately jumps in. Learning Tree takes on and defeats the Outrunners. Pretty quick match. And I thought we were going to get another, like, you know, super heel showdown here where they beat the fuck out of them again. That was not the case. Big Bill hit a double chokeslam set up. Bandito came out to make the save. He ran wild on the Learning Tree, putting Keith through the table. Press slam for a big pop. Welcome back, Bandito. Huh? Not going to see us upset about that. I'm glad they're not fucking around with him. I'm glad they're jumping right back in with him versus Jericho. They could have easily left him out to dry, man. They very, very well could have left him out to fucking dry, and that would have sucked. So, yeah. The match was whatever. Nothing special. So, Kyle Fletcher and Mark Briscoe cut promos on each other ahead of their Continental Classic rematch next week on Collision. Fletcher was upset that Briscoe spoiled his perfect record in the tournament. Wanted to get a win back for Grand Slam Australia. Again, we say repercussions from the tournament matter. This is an easy way to pivot to this match to give it a little more meaning than just an exhibition match, and I like it. He's going to prove that his win wasn't a fluke. This was, you know, we didn't necessarily do a deep dive of the C2 this year. We still might. I still might do that. I like to give it some time to breathe. But I think Fletcher versus Briscoe would probably be a top three match for most people. So, not counting the World's End matches. So, maybe even counting the World's End matches. Who are we kidding? Okada was backstage with Lexi Nair, interrupted by Buddy Matthews laughing at him. He laughed at Okada calling himself a champion. Okada laughs off Matthews' challenge. He calls Okada a bitch and leaves. I'm no bitch. I am no bitch. So, that's that. I got no problem with that. So, I'm looking very forward to this match at Grand Slam, if that is the case, because I think Buddy Matthews is severely underrated. As in our awards show, I listed him as the most underrated wrestler of the year. And not to get into one of the most emerging stars we have Harley Cameron take on a defeat Taya Valkyrie. Guys, ladies, gentlemen, MBs, all the above. Harley Cameron is the most over babyface on the fucking roster. It's time to acknowledge. It's time to bend the knee. However the fuck you want to do it. And she got her first win in AEW. Good for her. Good for her. She is fucking crushing every single opportunity they throw at her. The match was fine. It was fucking absolutely winded by it, like a 3-minute commercial break. No idea. But she hit a Canadian destroyer for a near fall. Senton off the top rope. Valkyrie hits a spear. Cameron kicks out at 2. Rolls her up the crucifix pin. And she goes absolutely ballistic. Deonna Purrazzo's raging, throwing chairs. She's crashing out. I fucking adored this, man. Harley Cameron, I mean, seriously. Seriously. Has the world caught up? We all know. If you're watching this show, you know how great she is. You know how great she fucking is. Hounds of Hell versus Konosuke Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay versus Mystery Deponent was announced on Dynamite. Those are two separate matches. So we get a Ricochet sit-down interview. Okay, this was really enjoyable. Ricochet sits down with Renee. He listened to the fans and told him he belonged in AEW. Watched from afar as his peers did amazing things. When he got there, the fans turned their backs on him, showered him with toilet paper. Swerve joined in on the mockery. Ricochet stabbed him in the head with the scissors. He was doing it as a curse, to curse at the fans as well. Swerve entered the frame calmly. Saved the fight for the people in Atlanta. He politely shoos away Renee. Sat with Ricochet to talk to him. Talk about how they never saw eye to eye in their encounters. He didn't want Ricochet in AEW to begin with, because he pretended to be a superhero, and the fans rejected him for it. I've accepted my role as the villain. Got all the respect in the world for it. He promised to show Ricochet that there was levels to this and that Ricochet wasn't on his. Ricochet then, and I liked where this went, he goes on to say he was never good at pretending and admitted that he never really cared about how the people felt. Ever since Hangman Punk Swerve out, he hasn't felt threatened by him at all. He goes on to say, he says stuff along the lines of like, you know, I didn't care about cutting promos. I had no passion for it. And it's like, yes, Ricochet. Because all the while he's doing this, of course, if you're really looking at it, he is cutting a promo and he's killing it. Of course he is. And maybe there is some truth to that statement. So Swerve grabbed the scissors out of his suit pocket, out of Ricochet's suit pocket, held them to his throat. He would see Ricochet on Dynamite. Guys, I'm all in with this shit, man. No pun intended. I'm all in. So
again,
I am adoring every single thing they're doing with this. It's incredible. Timeless Toni Storm has a town hall. She appeared on stage. She spent the last 6 weeks playing the role of Toni Storm. No one caught on because she did such a good actress. They bore witness to her metamorphosis. She didn't do it for the fans. She did it for herself. She was embarrassed and ashamed when Mariah stabbed her in the back and ran away from herself. She cursed at Mariah. She promised that May's time was over. Pretty good stuff here. I love all the attention to detail we're getting from a lot of these women's programs because it's making them matter that much more. Simple things like that, man. It's simple. Harley was backstage with Renee Paquette outside of Mercedes' locker room. She noted that Mercedes wasn't in there, but Cameron corrected her as Mercedes entered the frame. And it was ventriloquist Harley Cameron has joined the broadcast. Mercedes agrees to wrestle Harley in Australia, and she shakes her hand to make it official. And then Mercedes walks into the frame. There's two Mercedes money. She called her a loser, said that losers don't ride the money train. I like this. Harley Cameron and Mercedes is going to end up being one of the matches everyone's looking forward to the most. And it's so deserved. So absolutely deserved. We had our triple threat title match. Yeah, yeah, yeah. after that match, I didn't cover this actually during our favorites. Angelo and Menard came out. Inventory were out there. Adam Cole and Roddy came out. Next week's Collision, Shane Taylor Promotions versus the Undisputed Kingdom versus Daniel Garcia and 2.0. Video package for Penelope and Thunder Rosa next week. Hologram walking the streets in street clothes, and he has lightning in his figures, in his fingers. Hologram confirmed superhero, actually? That wasn't video editing, my friends. That was real shit, pal. Megan Bain gets a quick showcase win here with an F5 over Hayata Hera. God, how explosive is she? The burst. Like, Megan Bain. Holy, where have you been? We know where she's been, of course. But, no, seriously, this is... keep an eye out for her. Because that looked really good. I want to see her in a Premier Showcase match. Seriously. So, maybe her versus Jamie. Jamie Hayter. So, we got a Leo Rush and Action Andretti spot where they're outside. They weren't in the building last week and they weren't there this week. Top Flight's going to have to wait. When they come back, he might take up Darius on his challenge for a rematch, or just for a match in general. Guys, I love the pairing of Leo Rush and Action Andretti, and I know Duke feels the same. This is a pairing of guys that we just like to root for, and I'm liking that they're taking their time with this. We don't need to do it every week. They've been carrying Collision for months on end in different programs, the four of them, five of them, with Lexi. Lexi? Ah, fuck. Forgot her name again. Why is that name so hard? Layla. There it is. Jesus. Why is that name so hard for me? Video package for Queen Aminata versus Tony Storm on Dynamite. Another one of our four pillars. If you don't know, our four pillars are Kyle Fletcher, Bandido, Anna Jay, and Queen Aminata. This is our second edition of Pillars, the 2025 edition. Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale were backstage with Lexi Nair. Statlander asked for this interview to apologize. But Willow, God, this was like emotional. Willow wasn't interested. And Statlander pulled out a friendship bracelet and she goes on to say she never broke it. So I really like this. First off, they're totally dressed like two completely different people. It's like watching like a skit almost. It was very, very like, holy shit, these are way two different human beings. I was like, holy fuck. I liked it though. I'm glad we're, I don't know what the plan is for this, but I'm glad we're acknowledging it, because I would really love to know what happened with Stokely. Stokely and Chris was an awesome pairing. Maybe they dropped it like a hot, you know, like a hot topic. So we get our main event, where the FTR take on and defeat John Moxley and Wheeler Yuta in a Mid-South street fight. Very, very solid main event match. The babyfaces get the victory, stand together, take out the Death Riders. Crowd was very, very hot here. Then this was like hour four and a half into the show, probably, for them. They won. And you know what? When you see stuff like this, and how hot the crowd got when the Death Riders finally got beat up, in some ways, you gotta say it's working. I don't think it's working on every level. I absolutely don't think it's working on every level. But people want to see them lose. And it really, really hit for the crowd when they lost. So I think at some point we have to acknowledge that, right? And I think there are people out there that have actually really been enjoying the Death Riders angle. And you might be listening to the show right now, and that might be your favorite angle on the show. And you might be saying, I told you so, motherfucker. Just because it's not connecting with you doesn't mean it's not connecting with everyone. And that's why I've been always fair to say that. Because you know what? If it's all about getting your big baby face over, now I don't think 50, I don't know how old Cope is, but I'm going to round up here. I don't think 50-year-old Cope is the baby face we need to be giving this crowning moment to. But totally besides the point. It's clearly a feel-good moment. I do think he should be an AEW world champion someday, and that someday could be in a week and a half, right? So, yeah, very solid collision. We kind of stopped doing the which show was better. So once we got, you know, four shows we were doing, it kind of became irrelevant to do that. But the meme was always there of Rampage better, because sometimes, god damn it, it was. Good match this week. But, yeah, I think Collision got the edge this week. Again, apologies for the interruption of today, but I'm glad Duke was able to actually even do the beginning of the show. So hope obviously they're feeling better, and we will be back on Sunday. So yeah, I really hope you guys enjoyed this edition of Eat Sleep Elite. And I'm Charlie, and I'll be back, man. And I'll be back with the Digital Phantom. Catch you guys on the flip side.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.